You know, I had some different things planned to say before I have a clip for you. But I think, you know, I racked my brain trying to think where else I could go with Ecclesiastes, because the first message was one of how meaningless this world can be. But if you've noticed that the title of this series is The Meaningful Life. And where it's really easy in Ecclesiastes to focus on everything that he says that's meaningless, everything that he says that's depressing, realizing that that's really the end of his life, and he's realizing just how meaningless all these things that he thought were meaningful really were. So it's in that light that I started looking for what he was really trying to say to us in the midst of everything, in terms of what is meaningful, what he really wished and desperately to tell the people that he wrote this down. He wished to tell us, you know, what he missed, what was more important. As a matter of hindsight, you know, he shows the things that he didn't focus on. And you know, without going much further into that, in the midst of my busy week, and most people that know me know that I am not a man of few words. In fact, my mother used to say, he'll talk your leg off if you give him the chance. So, and I heard it's true from Mark back here in the hallway, who's now hiding. It's really hard for us in the midst of everything that we do every day, even the staff here that are both working somewhere else and trying to organize everything here, and they always do an excellent job. It's difficult for us to draw near to God and just to listen and hear him out. And so that's part of what this is about. Now, I will give you a little bit of an introduction to the clip. I chose it from the movie Bruce Almighty. Many of you have probably seen this movie. And I know that this doesn't necessarily mean the same thing as when we draw near to God and praying, when we try and silence our world. In fact, the preface to this clip, you see Bruce and his whole world is basically turned upside down. He's lost his job. He and his significant other are fighting. They're not seeing eye to eye on things. And he gets this page that says, and you know, even after he throws the pager out the window and it shatters, he still hears it beeping. And so he picks up the phone and calls him, and basically the message says, you need to come here. We got a job for you. Either you come or we'll continue to beep you. So that's the introduction, and this is him showing up.
Omnipresence. Hold on. The glass is half full.
Oh, jeez! Oh! Come on! Look! What is that? What is that?
Oh, jeez.
Thank you. Thank you again.
We're looking for room 7.
Yeah, I figured.
You want me to even those up for you?
How do I get to room 7?
I'll be on the 7th floor. Stairs right over there.
I'd rather take the elevator.
Out of order.
I love the stairs, though. They were my second choice.
Do you mind giving me a hand with this floor?
What? That's good. Are you serious? Oh, I'm kind of busy. Rain check.
I'll hold you to it.
I'm free on the 7th! That's 7!
7th, that's 7 it is.
This looks promising. Hello?
Another gigantic, ginormic waste of my life.
Hello? Yo, I'm looking for whoever runs this joint.
Be right with you. I'm trying to fix a light. Tell me if it's working.
Yeah, seems to be. Kind of bright, though.
Yeah, it is for most people. Spend their lives in the dark, trying to hide from me.
Well, the elevator's broken, huh?
Yeah, but I'll get around to it.
You install the clapper?
No, but catch a jingle, isn't it?
Clap on, clap off, clap on, clap off, the clapper.
Just can't get it out of my head, man.
Well, good luck with that. I'm gonna go now.
Okay, but the boss will be right out. You must be Bruce. I've been expecting you.
This is hilarious. So you're the boss and the electrician and the janitor. It must be a killer Christmas party. Don't get drunk, though. One of you might need a ride home.
You always were funny, Bruce. Just like your father. He didn't mind rolling up his sleeves either, son. People underestimate the benefit of good old manual labor. It's freedom in it. Some of the happiest people in the world go home smelling to high heavens at the end of the day.
Murray, what is this? How do you know my father, and how'd you get my pager number?
Oh, I know quite a lot about you, Bruce. Just about everything there is to know. Everything you've ever said, or done, or thought about doing. Right there in that file cabinet.
Wow, a whole drawer just for me.
Mind if I take a look?
Sure, like.
This ought to be good.
Now, this last entry was a little disturbing. Gloves are off, God. God has taken my bird and my bush. God is a mean kid with a magnifying glass. Smite me, O mighty smiter. Now, I'm not much for blaspheming, but that last one made me laugh.
Are you spying on me?
Who are you?
I'm the one. Huh? Creator of the heavens and the earth, Alpha and Omega.
See where this is going.
Bruce, I'm God.
Bingo! Yahtzee! Is that your final answer? Our survey says God! Bing, 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 bing. Well, it was nice to meet you, God. Thank you for the Grand Canyon, and good luck with the apocalypse. Oh, and by the way, you suck! You know what would have been a little bit more impressive, though? If you hadn't used the cheesy file cabinet illusion. Anybody with a brainstem can tell that that drawer is being fed through the wall from the other side. All you have to do is find the crease right around here. There is a seam here. Or a hollow spot.
Where? Through the drywall and concrete?
Okay, that is a good one. That is a good one. Okay, how many fingers am I holding up?
Now, Bruce, thou shalt not tempt the Lord.
Hey, if you can't do it, man, that's cool.
3, 2, 4, 9, 6, 8, 1.
Okay. How many now?
7.
Aha!
You've been doing a lot of complaining about me, Bruce. And quite frankly, I'm tired of it.
Wait. Don't come near me. Seriously, when I'm backed into a corner, I'm like a wild animal. I don't want to hurt you, but I will out of instinct.
You haven't won a fight since grade 5, and that was against a girl.
Yeah, she was huge. She'd been held back.
And the sun was in your eyes.
Oh, the ego. In a way, I brought you here to offer you a job.
Job? What job?
My job. You think you can do it better, so here's your chance. When you leave this building, you will be endowed with all my powers.
Whatever you say now.
Okay. So I'm sure there are several of you that have seen that clip. I hope. I think it's apparent that Bruce is having some trouble listening to God throughout the entire clip. In fact, he continues to complain, continues to focus on himself, continues to focus on his own state of affairs. And throughout the movie, you see him wanting this anchor position to the point of extreme, just pursuing this anchor position and thinking that that's his right and that's what's entitled to him. And how many of you, okay, parents out there or former children or children now, maybe grown-up children, I don't know. How many of you used to make promises of saying, if you blank, I will blank? Plenty of promises. You know, at the beginning of the clip, you have Morgan Freeman playing God saying, you want to help me with this floor? He said, I'm kind of busy. Rain check. I'll hold you to it, he said. That's part of it. Or how about, you know, in your own prayer life, saying to God, if you just let me have this job, this thing, I will never do this ever again. Cross my heart. I will do this. I will make sure and never do that again. How many times have we approached the seat of grace and gone, I did it again. I did it again, and I'm sorry. Just want you to think about that a little bit. Solomon made an interesting promise in his life. When he asked for wisdom, he also was requested by God not to marry outside of Israel because they would bring with them the gods and the goddesses and the other things of the other lands. And as I mentioned in the last sermon, which I can mention one more time, this sermon, he had 1,000 wives. So I think he broke the rules. Maybe the jury's still out on that one. I think he did, though. And with him, he brought the gods and the goddesses and the other practices of the surrounding nations, and he brought them all in with him. And eventually that led to the split of the kingdom. And now, you know, history tells of several nations taking over Israel. But he did make that promise. He did say, I won't do it. Give me the wisdom to run my own kingdom. Well, now, as you can tell, you know, there's a number of things that he wanted to do, a number of things that he didn't hold back doing in his life. And there's many things out there that I'm sure we all want to do. A position that's a little higher than what we have now. Retirement. Being able to have a house that has enough room for what we need it for. To be able to entertain guests. A paycheck that can cover all the bills. And even more so after that. There's a number of things that we desire. And a lot of times it even brings us to the point where we want to make promises to God. We want to just do anything we can out of sheer desperation for this one thing that we desire so much so. And I think it was out of sheer desperation that Bruce shows up after getting this wacky, strange page, which sounded like a really bad sales pitch in the movie. He shows up and he sees a white painted building with one person in it. Of course, one person is God. But he doesn't know that. And he keeps going and he keeps looking for this promise that He's certain that if the message held true to what was told to him, he was going to end up with everything he was wanting. And it was almost like he was saying, it's about time. It's about time I get this. I'm entitled to this. Formally or informally, many of us have probably made similar promises throughout our lives. Tried to say, I mean, I remember drawing near to God at the age of, I don't even remember, when I was really little and I went to camp meeting and it was still in Brooks and I was under a tent and they told me how to accept Jesus into my heart. I remember thinking, I've done so many bad things, I will never do them again, so help me. And I walked up there and I accepted him. Of course, later on in my life, I had to reaccount, had to draw near to him again, ask him to forgive me again, which we know he is faithful and just and will forgive. But that's kind of similar to what Solomon's dealing with in this passage. Earlier he talks about it's better to be a poor youth than an old and foolish king who doesn't listen to advice. And if you're curious, that's in chapter 4. But I bring that up only to preface the part that he was focusing on, I think, was the idea of listening to advice. Listening to his friends, the counsel of people that were around him. How many individuals, when a friend calls you out there, friend calls you and says, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm doing great. Well, how's this going? How's that going? Oh, yeah. It solved itself. Took care of itself. No problem. I'm fine. And you know that the one thing that's on your brain is, I haven't gotten lunch yet. I haven't done this yet. I've got to get this done before the end of the day. I can't talk with you right now. How many of us say, I'll tell you what, I'll come back and I'll talk to you again and we can really hash this thing out and talk about it in depth? How many of us actually do that? Call them and say, okay, let's recap. Let's really do this time. And a lot of us just kind of leaves our mind, we move on to the next day, and our friends, of course, forgive us. And they move on, they understand too. But those things, your everyday lives, those things tend to come and get in the way. And that's a little bit, you know, tying in, obviously, with the previous message. But also, because we're in the same book, it's still there. Only this time, he's discussing the importance of drawing near to God and letting your words be few. So I'm going to go ahead and read this. This is in the Amplified Version, so there's a few extra added phrases in there, just bear with it. It says, keep your foot, give your mind to what you are doing when you go, as Jacob to sacred Bethel, to the house of God. For to draw near, to hear and obey, is better than to give the sacrifice of fools, carelessly, irreverently. Too ignorant to know that they are doing evil. Be not rash with your mouth, and let not your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. For a dream comes with much business and painful effort, and a fool's voice with many words. When you vow a vow or make a pledge to God, do not put off paying it. For God has no pleasure in fools. Those who witlessly mock him, pay what you vow. It is better that you should not vow than you should vow and not pay. Do not allow your mouth to cause your body to sin. And do not say before the messenger, the priest, that it was an error or a mistake. Why should God be made angry at your voice and destroy the works of your hands? For in a multitude of dreams there is futility and worthlessness, and ruin in a flood of words. But reverently fear God. Revere and worship him, knowing that he is. I want that to set in for a few seconds. He says, don't make the sacrifice of fools. Says that in many words, it can cause destruction. I think Bruce said quite a few things that he really shouldn't have said. And that's putting it lightly. I don't know if I could ever say some of the things he said in that clip. In fact, it was kind of hard. I almost didn't play that clip because of just how harsh he is with God when he realizes who Morgan Freeman's at least acting to be in that scene. I'm sure there are many people out there that you meet every day that say even worse things to him. Some of us ourselves have probably said some of those things. Maybe not now. But there's probably a period in all of our lives where we thought he was to blame for these things. But when you draw near to God, mind your steps. Mind what you're doing. Pay attention. And listen. Let your words be few. Here are the points that I pulled out, like 3 points. First one I wrote down was, when we draw near to God, we need to listen more than we speak. As I said before, you know, Bruce in the clip, don't think he was listening very, very closely. In fact, further on in the movie, you see him walking out, you know, trying to convince himself that he does not have the powers of God. The same puddle that he walked in before the clip and sunk into the second time, he walked right over the top of it and didn't realize it. And then further on, you see him, of course, mocking the Ten Commandments with the red soup, trying to part the red soup. Very funny scene. But it's only at that point where God pops in and he goes, just realizes, you could see it written all over his face, oh boy, that really is God that I'm talking to. And this isn't a joke. But it took experiencing that power for him to finally listen, finally set everything else aside and actually pay attention to what God was really saying. And Morgan Freeman in that scene with the soup says, come, take a closer walk with me. I need to explain the rules. Do we allow God to finish his sentences? I remember many times when I was growing up, I used to cut my dad off, and he'd say, don't interrupt me. I'd still cut him off. Because I thought I could fill in all the blanks and fill in all the gaps. How many of us, when we draw near to God, want to start putting words in his mouth? We want him to say exactly what we're expecting him to say in those moments. Solomon doesn't only tell us to listen, but he says it's actually better to listen. He says, for to draw near to hear is better than, draw near to hear and obey is better than to give the sacrifice of fools. Cutting him off, filling in his sentences, I don't think it's too far of a stretch to say that that's the sacrifice of fools, taking over, filling in the words in his mouth. You really want this job, and you're applying for this job, you're showing up for an interview, and you want him to say, you know what, you're going to get that job. You're going to show up, and you're going to do great. How many of us, when we close our eyes and we pray, we spend all but 5 seconds before we walk into the building, and we say, we're going to get this job. We're going to get this. And we walk out, and then we hear nothing back from that employer. Where does that leave us? It just draws us right back to God's forgiveness. Has there ever been a situation where someone was trying to tell you something, but the noises around you were drowning them out? Anybody who works on a construction site knows how many noises that power tools and different things can generate. Somebody tries to call me when I'm at the auto shop where I work. And I hear all sorts of pneumatic tools and clanks and bangs and noises. Engines running. I can't hear them very clearly. That's exactly what happens when we just start filling in all the voids. I'm really happy that you spent that 1 minute, Lisa. Because that minute felt like an eternity to me. So point one from Solomon is to listen to God more so than we speak. Point two, keep proper respect of God when approaching Him. We sang, I'll let my words be few. But the first line is, you are God in heaven, and here am I on earth. That's straight out of Ecclesiastes. I mean, that is straight out of it. In fact, I can read it. I'm moving a little bit away from my notes here. But be not rash with your mouth, and let not your heart be hasty to utter a word before God. For God is in heaven, and you are on earth. Therefore, let your words be few. So I titled this one, Keep the Proper Respect of God When Approaching Him. I keep picking on Bruce, but he really does not respect God in the proper way, does he? It's almost bad to think of the pleasure that I see in seeing Bruce get humbled a little bit. He's sitting there holding on to that drawer and being dragged around like a rag doll. It's absolutely hilarious to me to see him realize just how vast and how many things he said to God and in his own thoughts. I remember a country song that had a line that said, if you want God to laugh, tell him your plans. I really think he, in one way, in a way of knowing, he does chuckle a little bit and thinks about it. Because obviously he sees so much more from his perspective. So I think that's really what he's trying to say to us. Solomon, who had a chance to grasp this great amount of wisdom and had such a great kingdom, he was able to see so much farther than even we could. And he still says, keep the proper respect of God. Realize, He is in heaven, we are on earth. We can only see a few feet in front of us. Earlier, Solomon says this regarding God's perspective. He has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also planted eternity in men's hearts and minds. Yet so that men cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. Even then, Solomon still couldn't see exactly what was going to happen. But God can. So when we draw near and when we start wanting to fill in his sentences, I think we need to listen, because I think he's got a lot more that he could say to us than we can say to him. I know oftentimes that I can forget, well, God is so close in those intimate moments where you really sense his presence. I sense it every time I'm here worshiping with every one of you. I can feel his presence. But even then, it's difficult, because he is also in heaven. He also sees everything. He knows everything. That file cabinet is probably not near as big as what could be filled with many of us, including me. I can't imagine how big that file drawer would be. So Solomon's second point here is, keep the proper respect of God when approaching him. The third one is, don't make promises you don't intend to keep with God. You know how Bruce promised to meet with him at the 7th at 7 o'clock. Later on in the movie, he basically says, God, I need help. I can't do this. There he is. And he said, well, you're right on time. Looks at his watch. It's the 7th at 7 o'clock. Time to mop. And so you see him mopping right beside Morgan Freeman. It's a very funny scene to me. But it's a very truthful scene. But vow making actually has three stipulations from what I could see. When, at least at this period of history, there are three stipulations to making a vow. I promise not to go too deep into this, but the person assuming the vow must be competent. That is, couldn't be a child or one with an unbalanced mind, lest they couldn't handle the decision very well to make that decision. When we say, I will never do this again, can you really tell what you are promising? Do you really know all the different circumstances that are going to be happening when you make that promise? I've heard other people say, well, I never knew that this was going to happen. I'm going to have to break that promise. The vow may only be assumed after deliberating for a sufficient period of time. It's not something to be done rashly. And that's kind of where Solomon is going, where I'll let my words be few. And it must be voluntarily and cheerfully offered. Scripture also says God loves a cheerful giver. That's another part of that. So, anyway, we already discussed kind of the vow that Solomon had made and also how he had broken that. Bruce actually ends up fulfilling that. Of course, there's many other scenes I really wish I could have shared with you, but I think I'm also going to let my words be few for that. I think it's a good time to talk about. You know, when I was a child, I remember going through the store with my mother, and it used to drive her nuts. I used to tap her shoulder. I used to tap her shoulder all the time, tug at her sleeve, go down the aisles. I wanted something so bad, I would promise her, who knows what all I tried to promise her to get that toy when I left. And I'm sure there are a lot of parents out there that are smiling, saying, yep, I know exactly what you're talking about. Either way, my mother actually took to tapping on my shoulder anytime I tapped on hers. She thought it was pretty funny. I didn't think it was that great, but now I can laugh at it. Today, as we desire these jobs and places to live, the cars, whatever it may be, cars are on my list because thankfully I've been lent a truck, but my truck right now is in Wilsonville and waiting to get fixed. But God still supplied what I needed. I'm able to get to work. I'm able to do everything that I need to do. And so are we. We're able to do everything we need to do. But when we draw near to God, let's listen first. Let's not make these promises that we can't fulfill. God can see it all to completion. Let's trust in his sight, because we can only see a few steps ahead and behind, but he can see the whole picture. If you can imagine, I mean, how many of you have gone to like Google Earth and just zoomed out and seen just how vast the world really is? And then you zoom in, you can see the rooftop of your house. Imagine God's ability to zoom into each individual lives and know the numbers of the hair on their head, be able to see their lives from beginning to completion. When we can only see a few feet in front and behind and around us, and only hear a certain amount away, God can see everything. There's even passages of Scripture, like if you go into Revelation and you see him describing the Lamb has many eyes and many ears. That's to symbolize that he sees everything and he hears everything and he knows everything that's going on. I'm going to close with one passage. And this is what Jesus has to say on the subject. It's also in Matthew 6. I'm reading Matthew 6, 5 through 13. It says, and I'll let you turn if you'd like. Also, when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward in full already. But when you pray, Go into your most private room and, closing the door, pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you in the open. And when you pray, do not heap up phrases. Multiply words, repeating the same ones over and over. That's the Amplified. As the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their much speaking. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray, therefore, like this. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We know to listen first, but in our own desires, let us seek God's will and purpose for our lives. Let us heed what Solomon is trying to tell us in the end of his life. Let us do what Bruce is not doing in that scene. Let's not fill the page. Let's let God write the book of our lives.